Audrey did such a good job of making announcements. That's her. By the way, it's her first time doing it. Do you think she did a good job? Let's give her some encouragement. The first, also Barnaby, also first time leading in prayer. Barnaby, let's give him just an encouragement. Yeah, thank you. That was a very heartfelt prayer. So today, the 10-year challenge. Who participated in the 10-year challenge? Anyone? Don't be shy, especially those sitting in the front rows. 10 years challenge. Do you know what it is? Some of you? Okay. Yeah, no, okay, Sarah, not so sure. Okay, let me show you some example. Yeah, so some celebrities has posted some photos of them. Do you know who this is? Yeah, Jason Momoa, the Aquaman, yes. He looks so different 10 years ago. And how about this one? Jessica Biel. They look the same. What? Yeah, and of course, we have our own Prime Minister. Yeah, that's what 10 years in politics make do to a person. Yeah. Okay, and how about this one? They even had some memes about it. This is a very Asian joke. Yeah. You know, do you understand? Oh, okay, Catalina is shaking her head. Basically, you're missing out on the best egg in Chinese dish. It's called century egg. And it's, I think they soak it in horse urine or something like that. No? I'm not sure what they do. I don't know how they make century eggs, but they probably a lot of urea and... Okay, need to ask our food cannon. Okay, and of course, we have our own Heidi. Wow. She looks a bit like Jessica Biel, right? She doesn't age. She's like a vampire, you know? What's your secret? Good camera for it. I think Mitsu, right? There's an app called Mitsu. No? Okay, anyway. All right. Beauty can. Of course, and we even have Melvin. Yeah. He looks also the same. Why? I hate you people. You guys look, you never age. And of course, myself, I age a lot. Yeah, that was me 10 years ago, and that's my current photo. But can you do this other challenge called the 36-year challenge? All right, that's me. Yeah. Looking very adorable. Yeah, my secret is snail mucus and CrossFit. Okay. All right. And of course, some of you may not know this person. Do anyone know this person? She's actually an American actress in the adult entertainment industry. And her name is Brittany De La Mora. And if you Google her name, she used to be a very famous porn star. And after she was in the industry for 10 years, but God changed her life. And she became totally different person. And also this other lady, you may not know her. Her name is Deja Hall. She was also a drug addict. She hit rock bottom, but God rescued her. And she's a totally different person. Later on in the message, I'll share more about their lives. So, yeah, today the title of my sermon is Freedom from Bondage, not from Bandage. But in a way, you need God to heal us. We are all, you know, broken. Amen, yes. So, a hope for all. That's our sermon series for this quarter. Everyone has the right to hear the Christian message of hope and salvation. As we prepare ourselves for COH, what is COH? Celebration of Hope. Can we hear that? What's COH?
Celebration.
All right. For this whole year, we will talk about it until May. And as Audrey mentioned, we need 1,000 volunteers. And we're going to cancel 11:30 service on that day so we can be a part of it. We can help and bless the Filipino community. So that they will also hear the message of hope and salvation. So as we prepare for COH on 17 to 19 May at the National Stadium, we want to teach and remind all of us here that there is hope and salvation in Jesus. And this is our message for Singapore. Yeah, just want to share with you, last weekend, three people came to know the Lord, and it was amazing. One went to the nave in the afternoon, and she wanted to know about Jesus, and we led her to know about Jesus. And another time was at a seminar, during a Christian seminar. We always assume that the participants are all Christian, but there's one participant. She responded to the message, to the teaching, and she wanted to become a Christian as well. And even after service, there was someone last Sunday, after the 8 o'clock service, this family wanted to become Christians. And one of them were not wanted to become members of the cathedral, and one of them is not a Christian. And we led that person to Christ. It's so amazing what God is doing. How about your experience? Pray for divine appointment, and that you can be that messenger of hope and salvation. So, I shared earlier about these two women who were set free from the bondage of sin. They are now different people because of what God has done in their lives. All of us want to be free. Free from our financial debts. Who wants to be free from their financial debts? Well, immediately. Free from maybe domineering parents or employers, anyone? All a bit shy. Yeah, or even unhealthy relationships. And of course, our physical and emotional needs are important to God. But God is more concerned with our spiritual condition, as it governs how we live and relate with Him, with each other, and with our possessions. God wants us to be truly free to experience true freedom. What does God want us to be free from? We will explore three lessons this afternoon on how we can be truly free from a passage in John chapter 8, verse 31 to 47. So please turn with me to John chapter 8. You can take out your handphone. Feel free to take out, or you can just follow the screen. Let me read this passage for you. John chapter 8, verse 31. So Jesus said to those who believe in Him, "If you obey My teaching, you are really My disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." "We are the descendants of Abraham," they answered, "and we have never been anybody's slaves. What do you mean then by saying you will be free?" Jesus said to them, "I am telling you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave of sin." Verse 35, "A slave does not belong to a family permanently, but a son belongs there forever. If the Son sets you free, then you will be really free. I know you are Abraham's descendants, yet you are trying to kill me because you will not accept My teaching. I talk about what My Father has shown Me, but you do what your father has told Me." They answered Him, "Our father is Abraham." "If you really were Abraham's children," Jesus replied, "you would do the same things that he did." Verse 40, "All I have ever done is to tell you the truth I heard from God, yet you are trying to kill Me. Abraham's did nothing like this." "You are doing what your fathers did. God Himself is the only Father we have," they answered, "and we are His true children." Jesus said to them, "If God really were your Father, you would believe Me, because I came from God, and now I am here. I did not come on My own authority, but He sent Me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to listen to My message. You are the children of your father, the devil, and you want to follow your father's desires. From the very beginning, he was a murderer, and he has never been on the side of truth, because there is no truth in him. When he tells a lie, he is only doing what is natural to him, because he is a liar and the father of all lies." Verse 45, "But I tell you the truth, and that is why you do not believe Me. Which one of you can prove that I am guilty of sin? If I tell the truth, then why do you not believe Me? He who comes from God listens to God's word. You, however, are not from God, and that is why you will not listen." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Quite a very difficult passage to preach on, but it's a very powerful warning for us for his disciples. So in verse 31, Jesus said to those who believe in him, if you obey my teaching, you are really my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So friends, what's the criteria of being a follower, of being a disciple of Jesus? The criteria is to obey his teachings and his words. I will not be doing my job as a pastor if I just preach that being a Christian is just to believe and have faith. Yes, a Christian is saved by faith in Christ, but it must be a living and active faith which produces repentance, obedience, and holiness. In the book of James, James wrote that even the devil believes, the demons believes and shudder. So no point in believing. You need to also exhibit your faith in actions. A true disciple of Christ must obey God's word. As we know, God's truth, obey his word and put into practice Jesus' teaching, we will be set free. What will we be free? What will we be set free from when we follow Jesus? The first one is lies. Jesus said that you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Before we were Christians, our beliefs and thoughts are marred and dictated by the world. Some of our pre-Christian thoughts are true, some are half-truths, but most of them are lies. These lies are manufactured by Satan himself. In the exchange between Jesus and the Jewish leaders, he accused them of rejecting him as the Messiah because they had been deceived by Satan. He said in John chapter 8, verse 44, "You are the children of your father, the devil." And what does the devil do? This is what Jesus said. He was a murderer at the beginning. He has always been no truth in him. When he tells a lie, he's doing what is natural to him. So his mother tongue is lies, right? Okay. Because he's a liar, father of all lies. So friends, what do you think are the top three lies of the devil? We can recall the time when Satan deceived Adam and Eve in the garden of Eden. So let me propose to you what are the top three lies based on the Genesis account. The first one is when Satan tried to tempt Eve, he posed this question. Did God actually say that you will die? Did God actually say? So that's one of Satan's schemes. He plants doubts. He will make us doubt that God is good. Earlier on, we sang that song, God is so good to us. But this devil is trying to tell us, are you sure God is good? Do you think God has the best intention for you? He makes us question that God's word is true and trustworthy. A pastor once said that the decision to sin always begins with doubting that what God says for my life is best. Let me repeat that again. The decision to sin always begins with doubting that what God says for my life is best. And the second lie is, so after that, right, during the interaction between Eve and Satan, Satan said, you will not die. And this is the second lie that the devil will use against us. He makes us think, the devil makes us think that we are masters of our destiny and our life. He makes us seek security and success through self-reliance and independence of God. He lies to us so that we do not need God because we are gods ourselves. Oh, sorry. I read that wrongly. Okay. Retract, sorry. That's what happens when you're 36 years. Okay, never mind. You can tell my... Okay, sorry. Let me read that again. You will not die, right? That's what Satan told Eve in the garden. He will make us think that we're invincible and we can save ourselves. He makes us think that we can just live for the moment, YOLO, and not bear the repercussions of our misdeeds. He lies to us that we can make choices that has no eternal consequence. And of course, the third lie, you will be like God. When you eat the fruit, you'll be like God. That's what Satan lied to Eve. The devil makes us think that we are masters of our destiny and life. He makes us seek security and success through self-reliance and independence of God. He lies to us that we do not need God because we are gods ourselves. We do not need God. So friends, we need to be delivered from lies. And it can only be done when we put into practice what Jesus has taught us. Just want to share with you this a quote from John Piper, an author and pastor. He wrote, "Satan devotes 168 hours a week trying to deceive you. Do you think you can maintain a renewed mind with a 10-minute glance at God's book once a day?" That's a food for thought. There's something for us to think about. Can you? You know, Satan, we are his enemies, and he's on a 24 hours, 365 days battle of our soul. He's trying to take away our soul from God. So my question to all of us is, who is discipling you? Who are you listening to? Who is shaping your thoughts and your beliefs and your values? Social media, YouTube, Instagram, Netflix, Tumblr. You still do Tumblr? No, okay. Your peers, who is shaping your mind, your hearts? Who is directing your actions and deeds? What lies do you still believe and live by? Jesus said, "If you obey my teaching, you are really my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Jesus offers us freedom from lies. Perhaps it is time for us to take God's word seriously. For this year, for this brand new year, 2019, perhaps make an effort to spend time reading God's word and meditating on it. Don't only study it, but put it into practice. God is more concerned with practical holiness than your Bible knowledge. God gave us his word to renew our minds. God gave us his word as a powerful weapon, and it's accessible to all of you. You have that access to this spiritual weapon against the lies of the devil. God gave us his word so that we can be truly free. Often, sometimes, even as me as a pastor, some lies of the devil can affect me. For example, one of the lies is God will say, "You're not good enough. Who are you? You're not good enough." And that might affect me. I'm not good enough to be a pastor. I'm not good enough to lead the 1130 community, and so on. And sometimes it may affect me and I feel self-condemned, self-loathing, and so on. But I have to reject that. God, you have called me. I need you. You will help me. Only you are good, but you will help me to be a good pastor to the 1130 community. The second is Jesus offers us freedom from our sins. In verse 34, Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you'll be free indeed." Friends, this is a warning to all of us. If we continue to sin, we are considered slaves to sin. Sin is our master. Master Sin. I have a friend named Mr. Sin. Okay? So that's kind of awkward. But yeah, he's an employer. Yeah. Who's your boss? Simon Sin. Okay? Sin. So when Jesus said that the slave does not remain in the house forever, he was probably alluding to the fact that a slave of sin will be cast out and not remain in God's household or holy presence. Only a slave that is redeemed, that is bought by the son of the master, by Jesus, and adopted as a child by the father, will remain in God's presence forever. This is why Jesus said that if the son sets us free, we will be free indeed. In a way, Jesus has set us free from the bondage of sin when he died on the cross for you and me. We are truly free. free from condemnation. When we repent and ask God to forgive us, we are free, truly free. However, the saying is, old habits die hard. Old sins beckon us to our old ways. What sins do we still struggle after knowing Jesus? Are we living a vicious cycle of sin, confess, without true repentance? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26 warns us, if we deliberately continue sinning after we have received knowledge of the truth, there is no longer any sacrifice that will cover these sins. Sometimes, if we are in this vicious circle, sin, confess, there'll be a time we totally forget about God, and we'll be really far from God's presence. So we need a breakthrough from God to end this vicious cycle. Sometimes we need to hit rock bottom so that we can be set free. I showed you earlier this picture of Deja Hall, right? Let me, this lady from America, from Arizona. Let me read to you an article about her journey of being set free in Christ. An Arizona woman's Facebook post documenting her stunning transformation from drug addict to doting mother and aspiring prison minister has gone viral in recent days, with the woman fully crediting God for saving her life. It was December 6, 2012, when Deja Hall, 26, says she finally hit rock bottom and got the help she needed. Hall, who was addicted to meth, cocaine, and heroin, said her life had spun completely out of control. "I was a monster in every sense of the word," she told. Hall said that her drug addiction started with pills and just went downhill from there, eventually leading her to heroin and meth and to a place in which she no longer cared if she lived or died. But it was a candid conversation with her grandfather that served as her final breaking point. "My grandfather was sitting in his wheelchair and he looked at me and said, 'You are hurting me, Deja,'" Hall recalled. "I really looked at who I had become, a disgusting person." So she made a promise to her grandfather that she will get better, and hours later was arrested on felony charges and went to prison. That's when she found God and abandoned drugs and changed her life for the better. It was on December 6, 2016, 4 years later after she got sober, that Hall posted a message to her Facebook page that quickly went viral. She shared a note about her sobriety along with some shocking before and after photos, showing the profound toll the drugs had taken on her. "Today marks," this is what she wrote on her Facebook, "today marks 4 years clean from heroin and meth. The top left is me in full-blown addiction. I was a terrible IV user and, like most, progressively got worse," she wrote. "The bottom left is me the day I was arrested, December 6, 2012, and coincidentally the day I finally surrendered to God." Today, Hall is a mother of an 18-month-old baby girl and is halfway through her college degree, and she hopes to become a prison minister so she can help others who face similar struggles. "Every day I thank God that I am not where I was once." In a follow-up Facebook message, Hall said that she wanted to make it clear that some media haven't included her comments about God in their reports. She wrote, "It is her faith that has brought her out of addiction and changed her life. Just to be clear, I did not get here without the love and support of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." So she has begun work as a drug and alcohol counselor at a community organization. Such an amazing story, isn't it? Of God's deliverance. This person was set free, truly free in Christ. So friends, our stories may not be as dramatic as Deja, but no sin is too big or small for Jesus to set us free. What are you struggling with? What are you hiding from God? What are you yearning to be set free by Jesus? What are they? Could be greed, materialism, self-condemnation, covetousness, hot temper, pornography, habitual masturbation, unforgiveness, gambling, and so on. I just want to encourage you, there is freedom in Jesus Christ. Come and talk to me or to any of the leaders, to Crystal, Stephen, Kenneth, or anyone, Heidi, or who you're comfortable with. Come talk to us. We want to journey with you. We want to help you to be truly free in Christ. As Barnaby prayed earlier on, we want to be a spiritual hospital for the broken. And church must be the place where we can be honest with God and we can be authentic with one another. There is no condemnation here. All of us are sinners, loved and redeemed by God. I am a sinner too. Yeah, but God loves each one of us. God loves me. Last is the third point. We need to be set free from ourselves. Deliver us from ourselves, God. Jesus had a tense debate with the Jewish leaders in verse 37. This is what Jesus said. I know that you are offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because my words find no place in you. I speak of what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have heard from your father. They answered him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you'd be doing the works Abraham did. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did. They defended themselves. The Jewish leaders defended themselves to be children of Abraham. But in truth, they were children of rebellion because they could not accept Jesus' message and practice the faith of Abraham. They were hypocrites for trusting in their own righteousness and religious pedigree. These adversaries of Jesus were proud, arrogant, and self-righteous. The Jewish leaders were so full of spiritual pride that they failed to see that Jesus was from God. He's the Son of God. He is the Messiah. They needed to be rescued from themselves. Are we sometimes like them? There's a quote by Charles Spurgeon, which I just want to share with you. The greatest enemy to human souls is the self-righteous spirit, which make men look to themselves for salvation. The greatest enemy to human souls is the self-righteous spirit, which make men look to themselves for salvation. Sometimes, friends, we trust on our high sense of morality or religious heritage instead of trusting in God Himself. We brag about our holiness and spiritual accomplishments than allowing God to break us, to mold us, to humble us. I want to share with you some self-righteous statements, whether they sound familiar to you. Some of it is, my parents are church leaders. My aunt is a church treasurer. My brother is the chief usher. My grandparents founded this church. I don't think any of you make those kind of statements. Yeah, or some of this statement, I know the Bible more than you. I pray more than you. I've done many good things than you. It's all about me focusing their spirituality on themselves rather than on God, who is a God of grace, God of mercy. So friends, God needs to break us. We need to be delivered from ourselves. We can never ever save ourselves. We need Jesus to save us. I'm going to invite the worship team to come forward. And I just want you to spend time to reflect on today's message. The title of this message, Freedom from Bondage. What are we slaves to? What are we struggling with? Is it a lie of the devil, a lie of the world that says you are not good enough? What lies do you hold true? And you've been struggling with this lie of the devil. I remember when I was younger, my primary school teacher said, "Your handwriting is so ugly." And I still remember that. Those words, I hold it, and I felt that I wasn't good enough. Just a simple statement, a simple remark, but the devil twisted and used it to condemn me, that I'm never good enough for God. And that has been my long-term struggle as well. I've never been good enough for God. If you even making that decision to be ordained, that was a big struggle for me because I always feel I was never good enough for God. And that's the lie that the devil has used to deceive me. I do not know what lies the devil has used against you, but I want to encourage you that you can be set free from those lies. And of course, deliver us from sin. I just want to encourage you. This church is a hospital. It must be a hospital for the weary, for the sinners, for those who are struggling. And I just want to invite you. God is really concerned about your walk with Him, your holiness. He wants to make you clean. If you've been struggling with a habitual sin, come to Jesus. Come talk to us. No condemnation. I promise that. No condemnation. And lastly, we need to be delivered from ourselves. God needs to really break us to recognize that we really need God. We are not gods ourselves. We need God. We need you, Jesus. Jesus, we need you. We are such wretched beings. But you call us, you love us, you redeem us. We need Jesus. So later on, as we sing this song,